Okay, so after a brief delay, the Planning Commission will now resume our meeting, work session. So I think, Jack, you had the question, so I'll let you go ahead.
This is Jack Haroon. So we were talking a little bit about how the projects were ranked or identified. So the major projects, my understanding, is they come from through the growth, through a state process or the growth management. On the smaller projects, when you have an intersection that people complain about or they want sidewalks or it's close to a school, how is that picked and how is that identified on those?
Good question, Jack. I was starting to describe how the GMA process then feeds the capital facility plan and the ranking comes directly from those larger projects. But you're talking now about the smaller managed programs, such as sidewalks and ADA, for example. And each one of those ongoing programs each have their own prioritization and ranking within each. So from a intersection standpoint, that could possibly be on the larger scale, or if it's a safety concern, for example, it would fall under our ongoing program. So intersections could be coming from either. However, the capital facility plan projects are a longer lead-in process that they're well determined beforehand. As far as the projects that could pop into the ongoing program projects, programs, they could come through various needs, safety concerns, volume capacity, grassroots. We do consider recommendations from our public, but at the end of the day, we study each individual program for the need of each project that might pop up. So where somebody might want a sidewalk in front of their house, that probably wouldn't rank very high if it didn't have other things that made it more attractive to funding, because at the end of the day, the funding helps bring more projects in. So we do cater all these programs to prioritize the projects within each based on needs.
And if I could just add to that, you know, another example would be, let's say we had an emergency, like a slide, where council called an emergency declaration, that would move pretty quickly through, but wouldn't necessarily be something that we would call an ongoing program, although we do have slide mitigation and culverts. But even if we found a culvert that was, say, large on a rural road somewhere that was failing, we might enter it then into our ongoing program and start the design and then key it up for construction the next year. Or if it was more urgent nature, then get it done right away. Again, a smaller project that we couldn't necessarily plan for that might show up in the short term. So,
okay, so my next question was, how are you able to account for inflation over 6 years? I was just looking at the 179th Street project and everything's moved out a ways. And I would say, my rough math was around $50 million budgeted. But if we're 4, 5, 6 years out, is there a kind of an industry multiplier right now that you guys are given to kind of go, we're running at 10% annually compounded, or, and because I'm sure that wreaks havoc on your plans.
Yeah, great question. So we do forecast against all of the projects for the entire six-year plan, and we do have some factors for inflation in there. Of course, recently we've had some unexpected numbers that we've had to adjust. To give an example of the 179th Street projects, I think when they were originally forecasted at about $66.5 million, we project that currently at about $82-83 million for completion. So we do build into our forecast, but it's more of a flat rate expectation for inflation rather than something that's harder to gauge or is more unstable, I guess.
So the numbers that we're seeing here, are they the 2028, 2029 numbers that would, because you have a, like in your project, you have whatever, $20 million. Is that $20 million for 2029, or is that $20 million of today's dollars in the numbers that we're seeing?
Yeah, great question. Chris, do you want to address that? And I think the answer is those are today's dollars, but I'll let Chris correct me if I have that wrong.
Yeah, those are the totals by project, but I'm not aware of the specifics of how they forecast inflation, but they do consider it some capacity.
So,
however,
so
there's no design that's needed on these projects. So if there is an increase or a decrease, that's realized as more is needed for a project. For example, if a culvert's needed where one wasn't planned or predicted, those sorts of things could come as big surprises. But we should have some.
Yeah, and, sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'll just kind of add to that a little bit. When we do forecasts, we're forecasting not only the expense of construction. So I think those are based on our estimates for today's dollars, but we're also forecasting expected revenues and different grants that we expect to come in over that six-year program. So all of it is I guess, affected by inflationary pressures over that six-year period. So we would expect, our motor fuel tax, for instance, that we collect for the road fund to be adjusted sometime in the future due to fewer gas vehicles being used and some new law that we're expecting, at some point that would be based on electric vehicle use. So all of those things are factored in, but I think the best answer to your question is those are today's best construction estimates that we have.
So if the project was built today versus 4 years from now. Okay. One of the things you guys mentioned, the permitting delays, there's two different things that you've mentioned around permitting. One was federal projects, and they've added an additional year to the permitting. And then you had mentioned something about like one intersection of Minnehaha that because of state funding, they create their own requirements along with the grant, and that can create some delays as well?
It can, and I think for the specific project that I mentioned, in our original scope, we mentioned bringing those corners for the intersection up to ADA compliance. When we actually started the design on the project with the concrete panels, we found that we weren't affecting those ramps, so we didn't actually trigger the requirement. But the state still asked us to, if we would consider moving ahead, but we knew that would delay some of our planning since we hadn't included it in the design at that point. So I'm not sure I'm answering the question though, but yeah.
No, you are, thank you. And I guess, and one last question on permitting for projects that are county roads within the county, is that a pretty quick, like, is that kind of almost a self-permitting thing, or does that then go to a state oversight, or does it we just go down the hall and stamp it and then we're hopping in the truck and going and building it?
Yeah, great question. This actually comes up quite often. So it depends on the project, of course. So if we're, hanging radar on a signal pole and not disturbing the ground, then it's pretty minimal, right? But pretty much any time we're disturbing the ground where we could have runoff from construction, we're going to have to look at our NPDES and general construction stormwater permits. So I would say that's never a simple process. We're going to go through the same procedure that a developer would with county permits if we're affecting wetlands. So any rural road, even if we're just doing small widening, we'd have to look at the stormwater impacts and go through the same permitting process that anyone else would. And if anything, we're held, I think, to a higher standard to make sure that we're following the rules and not setting a precedent that we wouldn't want the developers to be doing. So,
but you're subject to the same timeline the developers are, versus there's not a internal efficiency, so to speak.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we do have our own folks that do our environmental permitting. They're very good. So I would imagine they're better at it than something that's available to private. So kudos to them.
Thank you.
So this is Eldon. So Chris, great job on the presentation. I just have one question. Are there any projects in this TIP that got pulled up? Because you mentioned that sometimes they get reprioritized, safety or something. Are there any of those that got pulled up? I'm just curious because I see some delays that happen.
We'll be bringing in a couple of new projects to our TIP. I briefly mentioned to that in earlier, but they won't start design toward the end of our program, 2028, 2029. So they'll just be coming in. But as far as the listing, by the time the next transportation improvement program comes out, there could be more ongoing program projects, for example, that'll come in, as well as any newer large projects. But the larger projects typically, unless new projects are added to the capital facility plan for it, they won't have any other new ranking unless new projects come in. So if a new project came in that rose to the top of our prioritization, it could potentially boot one of the ones that haven't started yet out of that longer term. But the projects that come in through the capital facility plan, the growth management process, typically have a longer road. We would know about them before they come into the TIP because they'll hit the capital facility plan, for example. However, there is a potential that new projects could come in. Ken mentioned emergency situations, but as far as large capital projects, they typically are seen, like I said, ahead of time through the capital facility plan process, the Growth Management Act processes, and the like.
All right, thanks. Did anybody have it? Brian, are you all good?
I'm good. Thanks.
Okay. Then we'll close that part of the meeting, and then we'll go on to the next item, which is the vacant buildable lands. And Jess, I think he is doing the presentation. Does that mean our A guy here is going to be doing it? All right, so we'll just hang tight for here for a minute. Okay, I thought I did, but I'm just going to let anybody who's online, we're holding right now to see if Susan can get a hold of Jess. So we're holding. Chris, are you there? Chris?
What was that, a call for me?
Yes, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So we're trying to get a hold, of Jess so he can do the presentation on the buildable land,
right.
But I don't think they're having any success.
Mm-hmm.
And Jose is suggesting that maybe we should just do a work session of that item in particular, because there is a lot of detail in that presentation.
Yeah.
And maybe more. Have you done that before? I mean, I haven't been involved in that, scheduling another work session.
So, okay. First of all, please un-echo me. Thanks. This is a work session. It's not a public hearing. I don't believe it's been publicly noticed in the paper. And there isn't a quorum here in any case. So I think that if you wanted to adjourn for the evening right now, you could. And we could schedule a work session where Jesse Manley and whoever can present on the vacant buildable lands model for another time.
And this is Eldon. I'm seeing a lot of people shaking their heads. That's probably the best thing to do.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I don't know if there's anything else on the agenda that could be covered this evening, but I think an adjournment makes a lot of sense.
That's the last item on the agenda.
Ah, fabulous. Yeah.
Chris, so there wouldn't be an issue if we wanted to reschedule it as a work session prior to the hearing in 2 weeks?
So I would change the date of the hearing so that, okay, please unecho me. Thank you. I would change the date of the hearing so that the planning commissioners have adequate time to hear and absorb the information at the work session and think about it before they go into hearing. Having it, you know, scheduling the work session on something that, as we know, is quite complex at 5:30 and having the hearing at 6:30 does not seem to be ideal to me, but I don't do the scheduling. You all do that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So this is Eldon. So what I'm hearing is we'll probably just have to reschedule this portion of the agenda for November. Is that going to be?
Or schedule it for October 19th and reschedule the public hearing on that night regarding the VBLM.
Oh. Sonia was telling we can't have a hearing in November, but we can have a work session.
You know, I don't care. And I'm not sure that it makes sense. Okay, please turn off the other mic. I'm not sure it makes sense to make a decision right now, this second, when most of the planning commission isn't here and lots of staff are not here.
Okay, so Sonia said they'll just email everybody. So given that, I'm going to declare that the meeting is adjourned. And thanks. Thanks again, Chris, for all your help on dealing with those hackers.
You're so welcome. I've submitted a ticket to information technology about it, and I'm also informing the county manager.
Thanks, Chris. Have a nice evening.
Thanks. You too.